FM Talk 106.5, along with Fisher House, honors our veterans with a special program, The Fisher House Story. In their own words, you'll hear the heroic stories directly from our military veterans and their families about everything that Fisher House provides and how you can help. Join us Saturday 10 till noon, Sunday 6 p.m. to 9, and again on Veterans Day from noon till 2. The Fisher House Story, in their own words. Presented by Mike Ward's Liberty Safes and by Silver Creek Range on FM Talk 106.5.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that...
This is painful. And it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you all along. And I talked about some of the things that today or yesterday, actually yesterday, I guess, we were 1 year away from the presidential election. And I said today, we're 1 week out from Veterans Day. And we have a lot to talk about with Veterans Day here in our area. Wayne Sermon joins us to talk more about this from the Mobile Area Veterans Commission. Am I close on that one?
Really close.
Which is?
Mobile Bay Area Veterans Day Commission.
Bay. How did I forget Bay?
I don't know. Well, those people in Baldwin County, you know
That's
how
right.
it is. And now we intentionally put that in because we just say Mobile. We don't want to be taking a slight for people a little further out.
That's right.
We've got veterans that will come down, of course, across the bay, but down from Washington County. I know we're going to have some guys coming across from Mississippi. And,
right.
And, well, some guys also from Florida, the Panhandle, that will draw a good group over to appreciate what we do on Veterans Day.
Yeah, and I want to talk specifically about the events from Veterans Day, but you tempted me, Wayne. You tempted me to talk about the greater area of veterans. It's Mobile, Baldwin County. It's Southeast Mississippi. It's Northwest Florida. We have an incredible veterans community.
Really do. We have a very strong, and part of it is because of our history of having military bases. Of course, people my generation, we remember the aircraft flying in and out of Brooklyn with active Air Force over Pensacola. It's always exciting to fly small planes over there because there's so much air traffic because of the Navy. Going the other direction, you have Keesler Air Force Base. You have all that action. And when people go through this part of the country, they come back.
They come back right
I
to
don't
retire.
Know how many men that served in ROTC out of South Alabama came back and retired. Some of them are, well, they were the guys that taught me what it was to be in the Army, what it was to be an Army officer. Bill Counter was my PMS. Herb Toms is still, he came back in the neighborhood. Taught me so much stuff. These guys came back to this area because it's a great place to live.
Yeah.
And with the new Veterans Day, the Veterans Administration clinic that's out there off Rangeline Road, that is a super thing we've been needing for so long. It was great that we had to kind of cobble together some stuff over the old Providence Hospital, but brand new facility, it's really been a plus for the veterans community.
And you just geographically, the areas you just named, people that'll be coming on Monday to the event, let alone our general community, Mobile. That VA facility, that is, even though it's a cliched term when it comes to marketing, it's centrally located, Wayne.
It really is. It really is.
So
many. We've got a widespread group. Mobile, we're a regional site for Veterans Day. There are only 49. They're less than one per state. It's us in Birmingham in Alabama. Nobody else has that distinction from the Veterans Administration. We've had it for probably 15 years now.
You're sitting here watching my jaw drop, and it's because I guess I grew up here, so I'm used to. I thought everybody had a Veterans Day celebration like we did.
Well, there are And actually, in the area, we've got a lot of things going on. A lot of the towns, when I pulled out heading this way, E.R. Dixon had a sign out where they're on the 12th going to be having a special recognition for Veterans Day. We have a lot of that. But in terms of the national recognition, which gives us some clout to call on active duty service assets.
Mm-hmm. To be in the parade,
it gives a lot. You know, in the parade, we're going to have during the 10 a.m. parade, we'll have a flyovers for the Coast Guard will be coming by.
Cool.
We'll have a lot of great support from the National Guard. And you know, it's kind of interesting because if you're an active duty guy, you're technically a veteran, but you don't think yourselves of being a veteran.
Right.
So I always like to think of our parade, which has everything from Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts up through the active duty guys, the guys that are waiting for Austell to finish the ship they're building over there. Excuse me. Those guys are really saying, thank you, veterans. We'll be there one day. We're not there quite yet. So it's really an exciting thing to participate in. I get the pleasure of driving Miss University of Mobile in the parade. So Raven and I will be they're not looking at me. They're looking at Raven.
Is that what happens when you're the chair? You get the choice position, right?
Well, it's a nice perk.
There you go. Okay, so let's remind folks. First of all, and when we come back from the break, I want to talk more in depth. Your service to our nation in the Army?
Yes, I was an Army officer. I was at South Alabama, got commissioned. I said I was in the perfect spot. I got commissioned just after we ended Vietnam, but I still got the GI Bill. So that helped me go through graduate school as well. And, of course, my association both with the Alabama National Guard and Reserve units has been a real positive to my life because of the people you meet. The people you get to work with, the people that are on the commission now, everything from, I guess, our senior member, Captain Hal Pierce.
Yes.
Everybody knows Captain. If you don't, you're in the wrong, the wrong parties.
Yeah.
Through some younger guys, we've got a lot of guys that are in Vietnam. We've got a couple of Desert Storm guys. The head, Steve Carey, fighter pilot. We have a nice range of people that love to put this on. We've got some great support from the community. If I may make a few places, of course, the Mobile County, the Mobile City, Baldwin County have been real strong supporters. Airbus has really stepped up to help us out to recognize the Vietnam era.
And that veterans is the focus. If people didn't catch it earlier, the Vietnam era is the focus of this Veterans Day.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, for some of these guys, this is the first time they really, been able to say thank you. They say, well, I guess you kind of forgot us. Hmm. And no, we have not forgotten those men and women. But we're covering everybody. A couple of people well, that guy didn't serve in Vietnam. He didn't go to Southeast Asia. And I have a good friend of mine. I said, no, but during that period of time, he was serving on a crew of a ballistic missile submarine.
Mm-hmm.
My first company commander when I was a young lieutenant, he had served in the Berlin Brigade during that period of time. So they were going where Uncle Sam sent them.
That's right.
And so we felt it was right to recognize the entire group.
This is coming up on Monday. We come back, we'll talk about the specifics of coming out to honor our veterans and check out the parade. Also, some more details of what all will be in the parade as we honor all veterans, but specific focus on those Vietnam-era veterans. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And talk about what's happening a week from today. I know it's cliche that time is flying this fall. It is Veterans Day a week from today, and talk more about it. Wayne Sermon with the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission. See, you just tell me twice, I learned
right.
It. Okay, let's talk about the focuses here on the Vietnam veterans.
Right. In the past, we've recognized World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, and for a couple of reasons. It took us a couple extra years to get to where we could have a broad-based recognition of all Vietnam-era veterans. Now, it's not just those men and women who served in-country, but also who served elsewhere in anywhere in the U.S. military during that period of time. The people who were there will realize that you've got an award that some people call it. I was alive in 65, the National Service Medal. And so anybody who has that is going to be recognized. And if they submit an application, they will present them a neck medallion that has Vietnam, has the dates 1961 to 1974 on it. And on the back side, American flag, the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Day Commission logo, and the medallion sponsor, which is Airbus.
And how do they get in touch with you on that?
The easiest way is to just go to Facebook and punch in Mobile Bay Veterans, and that should take you to the page.
And we'll link it through on our Facebook page too. So if y'all know how to find us, we'll link it through.
That'd be super. It'll take you to a website. The official website is veteransday-mobilebay.com. And on that, at the bottom, there's a place you can make a reservation for the luncheon, and another one is for the medallion. You put it in there, you type it in online, it immediately falls into the database for Brandon to take care of that. We're going to have the local chapters, both Mobile and Baldwin County's chapters of the Vietnam Veterans of America, and they're going to assist in handing it out. People who can't come to the luncheon, they're going to make sure the distribution will go on after that.
Good deal. Now, let's talk about some of the honors being bestowed, a local veteran of the year, and also you got a keynote speaker that for the Vietnam era is pivotal.
Oh, that's right. Locally, we have what we call the Veteran of the Year. And the Veteran of the Year this year is Bill Atchison. Bill was a Vietnam veteran.
A lot of people know that name.
He was a driving force behind creating what we call the South Alabama Veterans Council, and that is a kind of everybody get together from all the VSOs, everybody from the American Legion and VFW to anything associated with veterans' concerns. He was driving force behind that, charter member of the Mobile Chapter of Vietnam Veterans of America, but I think that probably the greatest thing he's done for us is he was a driving force behind creating the Lower Alabama Vietnam Veterans Memorial. Go out to the Battleship Alabama, which you can do free of charge this coming Monday, and you go out there and you'll be able to see a display that will have a memorial to those men and women who died during that conflict, who were from Lower Alabama.
Yeah, and that's been something that I remember the process of that being. I've been in the radio business while that was done and put up. So people can go see that, and that's why we know Bill, and Bill's being honored on Veterans Day. Tell me about the keynote speaker.
Okay, the keynote speaker, since it's Vietnam veterans, we were able to arrange to get Robert Dubeck to come to town. Robert Dubeck served in Vietnam. He was an Air Force lieutenant. He was an intelligence officer, and his key focus was analyzing where and the effects of trying to interdict traffic coming down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. He comes back, uses GI Bill to go to law school, and as a young lawyer, he hooks up with a couple of other Vietnam veterans. They were all, you know, they said too young to know better, to come up with an idea of building a memorial to Vietnam veterans. So because of this, Mr. Dubeck winds up being the executive director and later the project director for handling what we now know as the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. The wall.
That wall that we've seen in Washington, this is the man behind it.
That's right. He's the guy who was the guy sitting at the chair, handling as an executive director, managing all the contractors. He was the focus for arranging for that massive competition they had for the design, working closely with the young lady who designed it. She was still a college student at the time she designed it. It was just really, really fantastic.
So he's going to be able to speak on what that was like back then. I mean, deciding and going through the process of getting this to happen.
That's right. He will be leading us through the process of recognizing a memorial that does not play to to the glorious, you know, victor, but rather
because it was a big change, right? Wait, I mean, we think about that from our memorials of past,
sure,
which are still, you know, breathtaking to be, but something big changed there.
That's right.
With the way the wall looks.
Yeah, he lays it out. He says, you know, the idea is it to be an equalizer, a unifying effect of the wall, that all the veterans are honored there, regardless of their rank or their service branch, their military occupation, their race, their creed, their sex, or any other category. The wall unifies those men and women who passed away during that conflict, and it is a unifying force for all Vietnam veterans and all veterans in general.
Yeah, if anybody's been to it, the solemn effect of that is amazing. And to think that it's not a statue or something like that, like so many other things are, that it has that effect as a wall with names.
Sure, and so it he will be telling, the story behind all of that, of how it has had some detractors and also the great support, and how it really has touched the heart of America.
Let's talk about then on Monday for folks who want to come out and see parade and all that. What's the schedule? When do you all line up? When do you start parading? What parade? You know, I always joke about what parade route is this? Is it one of the Mardi Gras parade routes or something completely different?
It's a little bit different. We will form up at the Civic Center,
okay,
and we will step off maybe a minute or two before 10.
Okay.
Because the parade, it's a long parade. We'll head out, and when we come out, we'll go down Canal Street.
Okay.
Heading toward Broad, and then we'll turn it Broad, and after that, it's the regular parade route. I think it's parade route A.
Yeah, the Mardi Gras route
A. We'll go down, we'll make the turn off, we'll go past Moe's in the garage.
Yes.
Those are my key points.
Yeah.
And then we'll turn and past the newly renovated home of Post 3, the American Legion, and we're going to have some veterans there enjoying the parade going by.
Okay.
Then we'll pass the Chamber of Commerce, great supporter of Veterans Day.
Fantastic.
And that's where the official reviewing stand will be. Actually, from the battleship, we're going to have Major General Cobb will be our reviewing officer.
Wow.
So it's great to see her recognized. It's about the only way you can get her in a uniform these days. She is real comfortable walking around the battleship and doing a great job.
I'm going to be on her battleship on Wednesday, and I always mind my P's and Q's when I'm out there on that. So it follows that route. So there's a chance for somebody to step out. I mean, they can come out and watch y'all come by and then get back in the office if they need
they
to,
sure
let alone
can.
If they took the day off to come down.
They sure can. And it is a big parade.
Yeah, y'all got a big parade. I love the
tremendous
fact.
Turnout from high school bands. I believe South Alabama's band usually leads the way. We'll have everything from Cub Scouts to dancing groups to JRTC units, then units from National Guard, the Navy. We're going to have Navy guys there. We'll have good, strong representation of the Coast Guard, both walking down the street and flying overhead.
That is too neat. You know, I think about this station. It shouldn't be a surprise that we're as involved with veterans activities as we are, because every branch is connected to this radio station, even though we have a high-density Marines, and I am picking my fight with my Marines. We have a high-density Marines, but all branches are represented with the station, some kind of connection. And those connections are something you and I talked about off-air. And thinking about the fact that we are honoring those Vietnam veterans, Vietnam-era veterans right now, that did not get that honor when they came home.
No.
They did not get that.
Did not. It was very rare that, you know, you were told, you know, don't wear a uniform. Don't, you know, and you get, like, even on a college campus, I had people making cracks to me while I was still just a student. They just didn't get it. They came home, and they said, we're just going to work through it, and didn't have the support we should have given those
Absolutely.
Men returning. After 9/11, we had a little bit of a sea change there. Suddenly people started recognizing it. You get people saying thank you for your service. I don't take that as being a trite expression. I think I know where their heart is when they mm-hmm. say that. Unfortunately, they're really talking to strangers these days. In my case, my dad was a World War II vet. Matter, every one of my uncles served in World War II.
This is amazing. You had an uncle in each, which branches you had?
Well, let's see. I had Army, what became the Air Force, Army Air Corps, Coast Guardsmen, and Navy.
It's amazing. I mean, wait, that's amazing.
I think everyone, when they joined up, they told the next guy, don't get in this branch. Go to something else.
Go to something. But what you point out there, and we just have a minute left, but I think it's so important, is that people are strangers because they don't have the family connections to the, because the all volunteer army don't have those connections like they used to.
And so much so that without having somebody explain that it's not just the glib commercials, or it's not just what we might see in the movies, without having that personal connection, we have people who just don't sign up and join. And that's a shame. They miss a great experience. They miss a bonding type of experience that is something that so many people lack these days. They don't have that kinship among any group of people. And so they're really isolated from the part of our community which we ask so much of. Multiple deployments. I have no National Guardsman who've spent more time in a combat zone than Glenn Frazier. And Glenn Frazier was a World War II Bataan Death March. He spent every minute in a combat zone. And their National Guardsman who spent more months in a combat zone than he has.
There's, you know, I think about the friends that are my age that since we were college, just after college to now, how many times they've been deployed is unbelievable.
It really is in this war against terror, and all
these decades.
People don't appreciate the sacrifices they truly are making.
That is for sure. All right, we're going to be out there in person, by the way, with you to get y'all a good start on Monday for the parade. Any other questions for folks on the Veterans Day Parade and Associated Activities? Facebook, probably the
best
place to go.
Facebook, good place. We do downtown. We do the lunch, and then we'll be out the battleship all afternoon with a lot of events out there. And again, it's the State Bicentennial Veterans Day site. And therefore, it is free admission.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time. Thank you for telling us about it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. Phone number, text line open. Actually, well, let's go ahead and keep that phone line open for just a second, because I'm looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. Caller number 6. I got a pair of Win 'Em Before You Can Buy 'Em tickets to Journey with special guests The Pretenders coming to the Wharf Amphitheater. That show August 26th. Show August 26th, 7:30. Doors open at 6. Tickets on sale this Friday. That is November 8th, 10 o'clock. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone. More details coming up, but the tickets go on sale Friday. Your chance to win them before you can buy them right now at 343-0106. So good luck. And you know what? You hung out here. I will put you back on here because you were visiting about a bunch of stuff during the break. But I want to. You mentioned something about people's relationship. And if you're just joining us, Wayne Sermon, and we're talking about Veterans Day coming up. He is chair of the Mobile Bay Area Veterans Commission. See, I'm doing good. I'm trainable. And, you know, we've done this in the past. We're going to go do our show down there as y'all get ready on Friday or on Monday to go parade and visit with the folks. Hopefully get y'all some goodies, some donuts, some coffee, and those kind of things. Get y'all charged up to go and then be able to come out and watch you. But you mentioned this connection or lack of connection with members of the military. And I joke about the high density of military folks at this radio station, something I'm very, very proud of. But you're right. In a lot of cases, I mean, I see it anecdotally because many of my friends are veterans or still some of them active service. But many people don't have, there's not anybody their age, not anybody in their peer group that served like it used to be.
I teach out at University of Mobile, and we were real proud that University has been tagged as being a veteran-friendly campus.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that tag, most of my students don't have a sibling or a first cousin, and now even a parent or aunt or uncle that have served in the military. It gets really where it becomes
And so those are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Yeah, 18, 19, 20. Now, I've had, right now, one of my students is an Air Force retired veteran.
Okay.
And last year I had a delightful, because we were both infantrymen, even more so, delightful man who was coming back and going to be a bang-up history teacher.
Cool.
But he was an infantryman. And so you have those insulated, but everybody else, they don't know. And sometimes I'll get to talking with those veteran students, and I realize that we're speaking in a language that nobody understands.
And that is one of the worries about that disconnect. We have the greatest army in the world, we have the greatest military in the world, the volunteer army, but it does disconnect through generations. I'm lucky, I'm blessed that I have those connections straight to just the generation above me and then inside my peer group. But yeah, if you have families where father, son, mother, daughter, everybody serves, but then it's vertical for that family, where that family's super represented in the military, but not horizontal, Wayne. It doesn't spread throughout.
It doesn't spread out as much, and because of that, people don't recognize the subtle differences between like a National Guardsman or Army Reservist.
Right.
I was in the Alabama State Defense Force, which was a great volunteer auxiliary to the National Guard, and we couldn't convince people that we weren't on active duty,
right.
Even though we're old gray-haired guys like I am now. they just don't realize the subtleness, and because of that, we have problems when it comes with funding or new equipment or deployment of people. We can't just go over and kick doors down.
Right.
That's not our job. It's great to be able to send people out to assist in disaster. But again, if you don't replace the equipment, we wear it out. And then when we truly need it for the defense of the nation, it might not be there.
You know, it's a situation where, I wonder if what we're talking about becomes a bigger and bigger issue. And that problem to me is not having that firsthand veteran. It doesn't have to be your blood. It could be friend, a father of a friend, mother of a friend, some kind of connection like that. Because I see with technology, and President Trump spent a bunch of money on the military, and I know there will always be human beings. But as we change going down the road with more technology, maybe there will be fewer men and women that are physically tied to the military, right? That are fighting, that then that's fewer people to have a relationship with those people. I mean, I worry that this ends up not doing the reverse of unsnowballing.
Yeah. Well, I started smiling when you were talking about being fit, because one of the problems we have right now is we've got so many of our young people are not physically or medically qualified.
They won't get in, yeah.
They won't get in if they've been taking, if they have like a Ritalin type of drug.
Right.
That's a disqualifier. If they're overweight, that's a disqualifier. If they can't do a pull-up, that's a disqualifier. They have to have some minimal level to get even in. And then you have, it used to be when I was in high school that you could always go in the Army, because I had soldiers, they didn't have GEDs. Now that person will not be brought into the military because the standards are higher, things are more complicated. It's a highly technical field. Even if you're that infantryman walking down, out on foot patrol, the technology involved is significant.
So I wonder if going forward that those, at least on the tech side and all that, those levels may, the bar might get higher and higher. And at the same time, we may need not as many human beings, but human beings that can operate this kind of technology or not. And do we end up in a problem getting more disconnected than we already are? Like you said, people are, and this is great we're talking about now, because the Vietnam veterans didn't get what they should have received when they came home from Vietnam. They did not get that, and hopefully we can, in little bits and pieces, put that back together, especially like coming up on Monday. But as there's a bigger and bigger disconnect, because you talked about it, your class, these kids have no connection to the military. If that number becomes smaller and smaller, there's a chance that nobody they know knows somebody who is connected to the military.
That's right, and unfortunately, then you get the person who's willing to commit our troops to a situation we're really not created for.
And they can't picture a face with that.
They don't have a face.
Yes.
We used to always say that if everybody would send, that if the lawmakers sent their sons and daughters to war, mm-hmm. They would think twice before they loaded them up and went halfway around the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, like, I can picture when stories come at certain theaters, knowing somebody who either was in that theater or just came home from that theater. I put a face with it, even though it's not representative of everybody there. Just in my mind, I knew this friend or that friend that had served there. But at a certain point, you may not even know someone who knows someone who served there. And that disconnect, I think that disconnect will be a bad thing for our nation.
It really is, because we've always prided our nation and our history of having that strong connection that the citizen soldier.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about that particularly when I'm teaching the ROTC cadets. We talk about the traditions of the Army and the military, and one of the differences between our nation's military has always been a mark of that they are citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Who are soldiers, not just the National Guard and Reserves, but even our active duty guys. They're citizens first, and then because of your citizenship, you are willing to make those sacrifices as a member of our military.
To defend that ideal of what you're a citizen.
That's right.
Out of love for the idea of the Republic, you would volunteer to be a member of to fight the battles of our country.
That's true. And it is it's something we're concerned about. I know that think tanks have been worried about this. Right after Vietnam, we started the all-volunteer force. And when I started going through the ranks and getting a little more sophisticated in my thinking, that was always part of our conversation is, do we dare become a caste of warriors that would be removed from the rest of the community? And what would we lose from that? We would lose that connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
The willingness for people to serve. We'll let somebody else do it.
No, you've got me on a new thought. You're continuing a thought process there, because it is worrisome. Because you look at civilizations of old, some that have folded, that had the caste of war, that they came from this caste, this group. These were your warriors. They only came from these people, these families, these areas, or these prefects, or whatever it was, and it was very unattached from the regular citizen. They weren't citizen soldiers. They were a very exclusive group of people.
Right. And when you have that exclusive group of people, that brings up all sorts of deals, because then they start feeling like we have served and they have not.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go to the us them, and as I was driving in, I was listening to the station with some discussion they had in the previous hour.
Yes.
And it is so easy to fall into that us them.
Mm-hmm.
Division, which we see in politics so dramatically.
Yeah.
And we've got to remember that it's, as I used to tell people, that on our name tapes, on our uniforms, it says right there, us Army, U.S. Army, that it's an us thing.
That is a great point. From a misreading, but really maybe a deeper meaning. All right, remind folks once again, now Monday, the full activities, you've got the Battleship Memorial.
Sure.
Park open, then you've got the parade.
Yeah, the park will be open as usual time, only they won't take your money when you come through the gate. The parade starts at 10 o'clock, making that route. It takes about an hour long for the whole parade to pass by. Then we're going to go to the Fort Whiting Auditorium. And over there at the Armory, we'll have a luncheon with Mr. Dubeck being our keynote speaker. Then back to the battleship. You know, the battleship out there, about they're going to have guys parachuting in, I believe, about 2:45 at 3 o'clock.
Oh, neat.
Parade of flags with the elementary school kids there. They'll be reading the winning essays. It was a real pleasure to be one of the judges.
How they do? Kids do pretty good?
They did quite well. Very wide variety of students, and I had a chance to go out and present their awards. Delightful group of students and the teachers of the schools they represent, both Mobile and Baldwin County. Just an outstanding group, no doubt about it. Then you get off your feet for just a few minutes, come back at 7 p.m. The Mobile Symphonic Pops will be playing the patriotic concert. And they say they have some new music. I think one of them might be the American Legion March. I got to plug one of the connections there.
All right, so you got a little inside information. They're going to get mad on here. It's like, he's spilling the beans early here. So that is a full day.
A full day. It's going to be a wonderful day. And I think I'll be pretty tired at the end of the day.
I'm tired just listening to our lineup for a week from today. Thank you for all you're doing, all you've done throughout the year to make this possible coming up on Monday. And thanks to all our veterans from me and specifically the Vietnam-era veterans that we're honoring on Monday. Wayne, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll come back and wrap it up. As if I needed to cue Paul Feinbaum, he's got a few things to talk about on today's show after interesting weekend in football. Hey, by the way, those that were giving me grief on the college pick'em for FM Talk 106.5, you have the right to do that because I, like a bonehead, after running a pretty good game this season, forgot to place my picks on Friday. So I'm out. I was seventh in like a 15-way time for seventh. I'm out now. Gives you a chance to move on up the rankings. By the way, congratulations to Bob Campbell in Saraland. Picked up those Journey and Pretenders tickets. We'll do more of that coming up. Y'all stay close.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 153 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Yeah, but like I was talking to Wayne Sermon about, we'll be doing the morning show again from live at the Civic Center as they line up and get ready. Of course, the morning show over before they start on the parade route, but we usually hang out, and we have quite a few veterans of the Vietnam era that will be joining us during the morning show on a week from today, yeah, on Veterans Day. Be out there and talk with those folks and get them ready with some donuts and some coffee as they get ready for the parade. So a big deal for the FM Talk 106.5 family. I always love doing that show, and I appreciate them making us part of the Veterans Day celebration. All right, a couple things here that before we wrap up for today, there's some stories we're going to hold over. There's some stories that we'll just get to. One of the holdover stories, I think, is I've got one that's of note and one that I don't know. One is that City of Montgomery, is passed a law here to deal with panhandling. And you know, we've talked about the panhandling laws for Mobile before, but this law. Okay, it says here the AP had the story. The Montgomery Advertiser reports an ordinance unanimously passed in Montgomery has yet to be enforced or signed by Mayor Todd Strange. It requires panhandlers be jailed for at least 2 days if they take something. Okay, here's the language. If you pass money or objects through car windows to someone on a public road, it makes such acts punishable with fines or jail. Now, I know they're addressing this for, like, panhandling, but does that mean, like, if you buy a paper or somebody's got the fill-the-boot thing or the soccer cleat or something like that? So that, I think that's going to come back up later on this week. Just know that that's a story out there floating around that I think is one of interest. I think it's, I don't know if I'm going to say something like it's trending, but it's going to be one we'll talk about. And then the other one is a little more disposable of a story, maybe. The groups of people on planet Earth that want to eliminate human beings. No, like all of us. Like, I guess themselves, too. This omnicide, have you seen this omnicide movement? Here it is. Omnicide is defined as the extinction of humans at the hands of humans. There are people behind this. Aren't there other hobbies to get into? Golf, doing aquariums, skateboarding, something? Says omnicide is defined as the extinction of humans at the hands of humans, and more people than you can imagine want humanity to become extinct, and eerily enough, we now have the technology to make it possible. So the folks that are these omniciders, like the Gaia Liberation Front, now I don't know how many people are in this, are suggesting that they want a plan to kill every human to help benefit the planet Earth. That, like, includes themselves. I'm scratching my head, too. They contend that bioengineering is the specific technology for doing the job right of annihilating humanity, and it's something that should be done by just one person with the necessary expertise and access to the necessary equipment. They continue to, they said they would like to work on genetically engineered viruses, having the advantage of attacking only a target species, that target species being human. These are humans. that are working on a plan to eliminate all humans. I will send this over to Twitter so we can discuss it there on Twitter, and we'll talk about these fools later on in the week. But yes, it's Omnicide. That's what they're doing there. These are humans advocating for the removal of all humans from the face of the earth. I don't make up the stories. I just pass them along. And also, speaking of Twitter, if you do get a chance, please check out the poll question I have on today dealing with the story of the McDonald's CEO. Some serious voting going on. If you'll check at FM Talk 1065 on Twitter, hopefully you're on Twitter, you go to at FM Talk 1065 and you'll see my question about the McDonald's CEO and a question I have for you. I'd love to see your vote there. We'll continue to tally those and also tally our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Should President Trump be impeached? Because that's what the national polls are asking. 73% of y'all say no. You can vote online there as well. All right, see you mañana. Feinbaum is next.